You know, one of the biggest challenges in our industry is that our service techs and oftentimes our salespeople, they tend to sell out of their own back pocket. In other words, if they wouldn't buy high end, they just assume the homeowner wouldn't buy high end. If they're not the kind of person to buy some accessories, you know, or an extended warranty on something, they assume that the homeowners wouldn't buy an extended service agreement or, you know, some type of accessory. The reality is we have to be very careful not to get too hung up on what we would do as a buyer. It's okay if you're a cheap buyer, but don't assume all your customers are cheap buyers. You have to have an open mind, run through the process, and allow the homeowners to make their own decisions. One of the things you have to remember in this industry is that you are an expert and you get paid for what you do and for what you know. In fact, you should get paid more for what you know than you actually do. I want to share with you a quick clip from one of our core training programs that really illustrates this point. In this module, I want to discuss the concept that to be successful in this business, you need to understand that you don't just get paid for what you do, you also get paid for what you know. I mean, think about this. We've all had the experience, right? You go to someone's home, you walk in, you greet the homeowner, and there's a problem with their air conditioning system. You go out, you take a look at the system, and within about 5 minutes, you figure out exactly what's going wrong. So you come back to the homeowner, and you say, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, it's going to be X amount of dollars to, you know, get the air conditioning up and running again, and we have an $89 diagnostic fee. The homeowner looks at you and says, $89 for a diagnostic fee? You were only here just, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. As if they would somehow be better served if it took you 2 hours to figure out the problem. The reality is your homeowner receives a higher level of service because of your experience, your qualifications, your tools, your training, everything that it takes for you to be able to do that quick diagnostic. But because you can do it so quickly as a result of your years of experience, somehow the homeowner actually wants to devalue, you know, the value of what you've done. The reality is this is when you have to remember, you don't just get paid for those 5 or 10 minutes. You don't get paid for what you do. You get paid for your years of experience. You get paid for what you know. So you got to make sure that when you walk in the house, you have the mindset that you get paid for the value of your education, your training, your tools, everything that you bring to the table, everything your company brings to the table. In other words, you know, to put you in front of that customer, to have that service call to run in the first place. Your company, you, your van, your training, your tools, everything comes together to be able to provide that service in a very, you know, effective way, a very efficient way for your homeowner. So you got to keep in mind you get paid not just for what you do, you also get paid for what you know. I want you to take a look at this video that illustrates this point. As professionals, if you want to be seen as a pro, you got to be a pro. And one of the things you got to understand is that you don't get paid for what you do, you get paid for what you know. You know, back in the 1980s in the former Soviet Union, many of you may remember there was a nuclear plant at Chernobyl that melted down. What many of you may not know is that there was a second plant a couple of months later that almost the same thing happened. The plutonium rods begin to overheat. But this time, instead of just sitting back to see what happens, they got a German guy that designed and engineered the plant. They got him on the phone and said, man, you need to get out here and make sure this thing does not melt down. We cannot have another Chernobyl. So the guy gets on the plane, he flies to Moscow, they take him out to the plant. When he gets to the plant, it's total chaos. I mean, alarms are going off, red lights are flashing, they've abandoned the plant, they're evacuating the town. I mean, this is potential total nuclear devastation. But this guy walks in, cool as a cucumber, goes down about 6 flights of stairs and goes down in the base of the bowels of this nuclear plant. They've got these cooling towers that house the plutonium rods to keep them cool. And he's right there at ground zero. I mean, if this thing overheats, if this thing melts down, he's gonna go in a flash. But he walks right through all this chaos. He walks up to a big wall. There's all these valves and all these gauges. The guy looks at the wall for a second. He looks at one particular gauge, one particular valve. He reaches in and he closes the valve. Instantaneously, the pressures start coming down. The temperatures start coming down. Total nuclear devastation avoided. So the guy goes back to Germany, and about a month later, he sends a bill to the Soviet government. When he sends the invoice, it's a one-line item invoice. It says, averting nuclear disaster, $100,000. So they get the bill, and they say, $100,000? You weren't here but 15 minutes. We want a detailed breakdown of your invoice. So he sends the Soviet government another invoice. This time, there's 2 line items. The first line said, closing valve and averting nuclear disaster, $1. The second line said, knowing which valve to close, $99,999. You don't get paid just for what you do.
You get paid through years of experience. So the next time a homeowner asks you to drop the price, you gotta think like a nuclear service technician. You gotta think like a professional. You gotta remember, you get paid for knowing which valve to close.
So you can see through this video that this is really a mindset issue. You have to understand that before your customers are really gonna see you as the professional service provider that you are, you have to start seeing yourself that way first. The world's gonna see you the way you see yourself. If you see yourself just as the lowly HVAC guy, well, guess what? That's how people are gonna treat you. But if you see yourself as a stone cold professional, right? A solid professional whose job it is to diagnose problems or recommend solutions, and whose job and responsibility it is to get compensated not just for what he or she does, but also for what he or she knows. Your years of experience, tools, et cetera, training, all those things come into play. So you gotta see yourself as a professional before your homeowner is gonna see you a professional. That, my friend, is the essence of the prosperity mindset. You know, one of the things I strongly believe, as do all the faculty here at Contract University, is that our attitudes have a lot to do with our success, right? If you look at successful people, they tend to have great attitudes. If you look at people who are failures in life, they tend to have very bad attitudes. Now, some people may say the failure creates the bad attitude. Personally, I believe the bad attitude creates the failure, right? The good attitude creates the success. So I want to share with you another video that really illustrates this point. Gary Ellis is going to come in and talk to us a little bit about your attitude determines your altitude in life and business.
There's three basic things that make up a successful individual. And so this is Napoleon Hill going back into the 1900s, where Napoleon Hill was asked, he was commissioned actually, to do a study amongst an entire generation of successful people. Just think about, you know, people like the Vanderbilts, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, and in fact, Carnegie was the one who established this particular study. So the Carnegie Foundation was all about, hey, how do we made all this money, how do we give it back? How do we figure out a way to help life improve for people that aren't as fortunate and successful, you know, as the Carnegies were? So what he did is he employed a writer named Napoleon Hill, and he networked Napoleon Hill across all of his contacts, all the most successful people of that era. These were titans of industry, and many of the foundation principles that were established in business back in the early days of the American Industrial Revolution came at the time that Napoleon Hill was doing this study. And in fact, he wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich. And if you haven't read that particular book, it's probably one of the first books that you should get and read, because Think and Grow Rich is not about growing rich in terms of monetary success. It's about using your brain and thinking through how to actually control the outcome of what goes on relative to your world. So the thinking pattern is the discussion in the text, which is, hey, how do I become the very best me that I can? And what do I have to do differently? So the cool part about what Carnegie did with Napoleon Hill is he said, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to pay you for this assignment, but it's going to take the better part of your life to actually complete this assignment. And when you're done, I want you to publish the study. I want you to be able to give this back to humankind. And I want you to tell me the difference between what makes a man who is poor and saddled with nothing and sleeping on a park bench and has nothing in life, the difference between that individual and a person who had the exact same experience but somehow managed to get out from under that and become successful, which, by the way, was Carnegie himself. He was a poor Scottish guy, and he came from a very tough place, and he turned out to be one of the wealthiest people on the planet. But what he learned through those experiences was it wasn't the difference in who he was, it was the difference in how he thought and how he developed himself. So let's go back to that slide. There are three things. The first thing is talent. You can't make Gary Ellis taller than he is. I mean, I'm 5'6" when I'm on stilts, and that's what I'm gonna be, because that's DNA. So I've been given some other gifts. One of them is not height. So you can call me follically challenged as well. So my parents were gracious enough to give me the DNA that said you're going to be U-pattern bald. So it is what it is. Now I can influence that through number three. I can control my technique and put some hair plugs in here if I want to. But number one is my DNA. This is what I have been given. Therefore, I have to develop myself to be the very best Gary that I can be. What I need you to do is decide what it is that you want to become. And most people really don't sit down and actually think through that. They don't really have a life plan. They don't have what we call a personal achievement plan. I've heard Wally talk many times. He calls it a prosperity plan. You can call it anything you want. They're all good names. The main issue is that you actually sit down and plan and think about what you want for yourself, your family, and what your interests are. And until you actually physically decide to make the transition out of, well, that's a good idea, I'd really like to do that, to, that's a good idea, I'd really like to do that, now I got to figure out how to do it. That's the difference between the person who takes action and the person who just talks about it.